Today, checking emails in bed or taking calls in the car is, well, it's basically just the norm. The boundary between being on and off the clock is almost completely invisible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But back in 2012, long before flex work was this huge global corporate buzzword, a South African agricultural training institute tried to mathematically codify that exact boundary.
Right. For this deep dive, we're looking at a draft policy on working hours from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries.
A real look into like pure bureaucratic timekeeping.
Exactly. And, you know, what's fascinating here is watching a highly structured government entity try to build a modern work-life balance system using purely bureaucratic tools.
Okay, let's unpack this. The baseline is your standard 40-hour week, right? With 8-hour days.
Yeah, pretty standard stuff.
Right, and the official clock runs from 07.30 to 16.15. But because you listening likely already understand the basic premise of core versus flexible hours, what really stands out isn't the schedule itself, it's the friction of actually implementing it in an agricultural setting. It's kind of like an egg.
Why an egg?
Yeah, just bear with me. So there's this rigid yoke, right? The core working hours where everyone absolutely must be present. And that's arrow 8.30 to 15.30.
Okay, I see where you're going with this.
And then that yolk is surrounded by the egg white. Those are the flexible zones, so like 07.0 to 08.30 in the morning and 15.30 to 17.0 in the afternoon.
That makes a lot of sense. The Institute needed guaranteed coverage during peak times. The yolk, basically, to keep agricultural operations running smoothly.
Because you can't just, put farming on pause.
Right, exactly. But they intentionally gave managers the power to slide an employee's start and end times within those outer egg white windows just to fit the reality of the work.
Which creates a really interesting tension. I mean, if you're managing an agricultural training site, you have staff out in the field, people prepping lectures. It's not a neat desk job.
Definitely not.
So I look at these strict core hours and think, well, this actually feels incredibly rigid. Wait, so if an employee voluntarily preps a lecture at home at night or spends 2 hours driving to a remote site, can they just bank that time and take Friday off?
No, absolutely not.
Wait, really? They get nothing.
They get absolutely nothing in terms of bank time. The policy explicitly forbids claiming flexitime or overtime for voluntary homework or commute times.
Wow. That's an aggressive guardrail against schedule creep.
It is, yeah. I mean, if you let people claim off-site prep, the boundaries blur again, and the predictability of the institute just completely falls apart.
But that creates a problem, doesn't it? If you're giving people flex time on paper, but policing it so tightly that they can't use their actual out-of-hours work, morale is going to take a huge hit.
Which is exactly why they introduced this very specific, almost funny workaround. Banking tea time.
Tea time.
Yeah. The policy allows employees to enter a mutual agreement with their supervisor to work straight through their mandatory 15-minute afternoon tea breaks.
Okay, so they just skip tea.
Right. And by doing that, they accrue that time to use later for personal reasons. The document actually specifically mentions leaving early on paydays.
Oh, wow. So they're weaponizing their legally mandated breaks to buy back their Friday afternoons.
Exactly. But they couldn't just stockpile these 15-minute chunks indefinitely.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The policy caps accumulated flex time at 5 uninterrupted hours, right?
Right, because the goal was day-to-day flexibility,
Yeah.
not creating some shadow vacation system.
Yeah, so people don't use it as an alternative to hoarding vacation days.
Exactly. If you let people hoard months of skipped tea breaks, you suddenly have staff disappearing for a week, which breaks that core operational coverage we talked about earlier.
It's a surprisingly delicate ecosystem.
It really is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this institute was bound by the 2003 Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council resolution.
That sounds incredibly rigid.
Oh, it was. It was an overarching labor agreement that mandated very specific working hours across the government. So the institute had to get incredibly creative within those legal confines to give employees any real sense of autonomy over their time. And in doing so, they actively humanized the workplace.
By protecting personal time.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what makes this document so relevant for you, our listener, when thinking about modern work culture. It's a great reminder that clear boundaries, down to the exact 45-minute lunch and 2 15-minute tea breaks, can actually create workplace freedom.
Right, it's the paradox of structure. By defining the walls so clearly, you actually create a safe space to operate within them.
So here's a thought to mull over. If a 2012 agricultural bureaucracy could successfully codify work-life balance using tea time banking and a rigid core schedule, why do so many modern tech-forward companies with infinitely better tools still struggle to define clear boundaries between being on the clock and off the clock?